Hello, and welcome to Getting to Know Your Friends. I'm Zach Rowland, a podcast host of Getting to Know Your Friends, where we get to know my friends and maybe your friends too. Today on the show, we have Juliet Everhart.
I might be your friend.
Yeah. Well, you're my friend, and I think that's really important. I think that it's important that we establish that Juliet is my friend. So, Juliet, I'm going to ask this right out of the gate before I get into your history. Do you prefer to be called Juliet or Julie?
Oh, my central core mystery.
Yeah. I have to demystify this is the thing. Like, I feel, because I call you both because I've known you as both. And so I want to, like, right. If you don't want to demystify it, please, like, don't.
Oh, God. I hate saying it. It is my own name, but I've always just kind of let people call me whatever they want to call me.
Sure.
Especially for most of my life, I was just Julie.
Mm-hmm.
But
they shortened it down to make it easy on you.
Yeah. Make it easy.
I love Juliet. I think it's a beautiful name, and, you know, of course, it's classic.
It's a better name. A lot of people have argued in its favor in my adulthood, and that's gotten me to use that more, and I do.
Good.
Like, I do refer to myself as Juliet instead of Julie, because anybody could be a Julie.
Anybody could be a Julie, guys.
I've got the fancy French spelling of that name, too. My name.
Which I
do have this spelling of my name.
Yeah? Is it, like, different? I mean, in the spelling of, like...
Yeah, like in the Shakespeare play, there's versus how my name is spelled. My name is spelled Juliette. In the Shakespeare play, it's Juliet.
Wow, interesting. I didn't realize
interesting
that.
Interesting stuff, you guys.
Yeah.
The spelling of my name.
I'm blown away.
I've got a middle one, too, a last one.
We could be here for days. Names all day.
Naming all the time.
All right, Juliet. Well, let's get into it. So this show's all about getting to know your friends and getting to know you and where you're from and what you've done with your life and all kinds of fun, crazy adventures. So let's start at the beginning. Okay. Where are you from?
I am originally from Indianapolis. It's where I spent almost all of the first 20 years of my life, with the exception of 3, where we lived in southern Indiana, because my parents had a weird dream they needed to pursue at the time.
And which was?
They wanted to own their own general store.
Oh.
So from the ages of like 7 through 10, I got to live above a general store, a small town general store in the hilariously named town of Friendship, Indiana. Friendship, Indiana, formerly known as Bob's Town.
Really? They just like change the name up every few years? Or is that like...
I don't know when it was known as Bob's Town, but that's what the little sign when you came in to the town said. And since the town was like one block, I saw that sign a lot.
Wow, interesting. All right, so Indianapolis then.
Mm-hmm.
And you had most of your schooling there, elementary, middle, high school?
Yeah, and the 2 years of college I completed were also there.
Nice.
Indiana University, Purdue University in Indianapolis.
Nice.
The time I went there, it was the college with the longest name in the country. I think it's since been surpassed by a longer name.
Which is?
School of Montana, I think.
They really want you to
know. I don't know why they needed that.
They want you to know exactly what they do there, just in where it's at. Right on. So let's get into some of the more young days. Like, what, so tell us, like, some childhood stories other than about Friendship, Indiana. What other, like, things, like, maybe from elementary school or middle school? Like, were you a rough and tough kid, or were you kind of, like...
Oh, no. I was the mildest of mild children.
Yeah.
No, I was really polite and well-behaved. Actually, my parents... They thought I might have had some kind of disorder when I was a baby, that there might have been something mentally wrong with me.
Really?
Because I was such an extraordinarily quiet child.
Wow.
He said, like, no matter what they did, like, if they dropped me, like, I would not cry. It's just kind of quiet. It's okay with it, pretty much.
Right. Is that carried on, do you think, throughout life?
I think so.
Yeah.
Like, that's the original cause of all of it. Like, I could have some kind of deep psychological reason behind why I'm quiet, or I could have just been born quiet and not needing to say much beyond that.
That's excellent, because you're talking so much now, it's like you don't have a chance right. to be quiet, because I'm forcing you to speak.
Yeah, I don't know. I think I'm quiet most of the day. Like, I'm quiet at my day job for the most part, and whenever people need an adjective to describe me, they always tend towards quiet, so...
Interesting. It's just always been there, then.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, I'm not that at all, so I have no idea what that's like. I feel like that's the furthest thing from what I am, and if I'm quiet, I speak so I can hear my own voice just to remember that I can speak.
Like... Oh, I do that all the time. I probably, like, especially the early part of my life, this is going to make me sound insane. Everything about the early part of my life is going to make me sound insane.
I love
insane.
It. Let's get into it.
I probably talk to myself more than I talk to anyone else.
Okay.
I don't know, I liked doing that. And so I would do a lot of little voices and things, constantly imitating stuff on TV or having, like, little character voice conversations with myself.
Mm-hmm.
I was homeschooled for a long time as a kid.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, that comes as no surprise, right?
Okay, yeah. Well, I mean, I don't know. I don't know. I guess I've met a few people who have been homeschooled, and I don't think people who are homeschooled are any different. I mean, there's a value to it. I get that. But then there's that stigma also of being like, that's the weird kid who doesn't have any friends. And you're like, that's not true.
See, that's what I tend to think about homeschooled kids.
That's funny. And you were a homeschooled kid.
Well, and I can prove that completely. No, I'm here because
you have
I have friends.
Yeah. I'm sure maybe when you're in homeschool situation, it's more difficult. But
yeah,
now, I mean...
I was pretty isolated for a long time, but it means I'm good at forcing myself to study.
Right.
I guess. So, still where I'm at with improv, anyway.
Yeah. Because you still push yourself to learn more. You know, you're not necessarily as isolated, but you're finding yourself with those same patterns, those same things when you were a child.
Yeah.
Giving you sensibility and reassurance.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's really good, you know? I mean... I used to do that thing, same thing with the characters and talking to myself and making those little voices. And it was always so much fun. And then, you know, I would do it around people and they think I was nuts. And I'm just trying to be funny, you know? So, you kind of do shy away from that a little bit more. And now I do it just because, you know, it helps my improv as well. And so I'm just like, okay, great. I'm just going to do this and I don't care what you think about me.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Let me ask you this. Did you ever go through a time in your life, and I'm sure you're going to say yes, where, I mean, you just felt like you couldn't do anything that you really wanted to do? Like everybody was judging you, like, all the time? Like, what was that like? How did you kind of, or have you moved past that? I mean, what is it like? Yeah.
Well, that's interesting. Yeah. I'm moving past it, I think. I'll be honest and blunt, I guess. I don't know. Like, do I need to stay light and happy during
No,
this?
No. I mean, it's fun, but, okay. You know, we can get into anything we need to, so.
Sure. Yeah no. Well, I have really bad social anxiety. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm diagnosed with that off and on. I've seen people and doctors about it because, possibly because of being homeschooled and, like, completely isolated as a kid.
Sure.
And so it makes it difficult. Improv has helped a lot, but, I mean, I still have to deal with that all the time.
Right.
Especially my day job. It's why I have a reputation for being quiet. I'm just not good at talking to people, and I fear that. In situations where there's no stakes, really, or if I know I'll never see this person again. Mm-hmm. I'm, like, ridiculously overbold with them and will tell them anything. But if there's any kind of stakes to this relationship, if I know I'm going to see you, I usually, like, am really quiet and just need you to like me. So if you're watching this, please like me. I really need it.
Get a lot of
help.
Friend requests on Facebook. Just get those up, guys.
Just let me know.
Is there a certain number you're looking for? You know,
more.
No, that's very interesting because I feel like I'm almost sometimes the opposite.
Mm-hmm.
I get very, weird around strangers and don't want to act out because it's against societal norms and think that if I break those traditions that people will, I don't know, like, get me in trouble or something. But if I know people and they're my friends and it's long term or there's even stakes into it, mm-hmm. I'll make an ass out of myself. I'll do anything I can because I guess I just, like, I know that those people will remember me. Mm-hmm. And those people are more meaningful than the people who won't ever remember me. But yeah. I'm getting past all of that as well and just doing whatever I want to now, right? Isn't 30 mm-hmm. great? Like, you hit 30.
I was just thinking that. It's the point where you got to get, where you finally recognize your bullshit, so you have to get past it.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. Oh, that's so true. So once you turn 30, guys, like, just, there you go. Wait, yeah. Wait it out. 20s is a lot rougher than you think.
It is.
You know, so just get there and then you can just figure it out. So, all right. Indianapolis to Kansas City.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
What happened?
Oh, wow. This story.
Yeah. I mean, I think I know parts of it, but I want some clarification. I think I got to get it all pieced together.
Yeah. Okay. Well, well, when I was 20, I just dropped out of college because of...
2 years.
Two years. Yeah. 2 years of college. And I kind of had a nervous breakdown at that point because of my anxiety issues. And it kind of necessitated taking me out of school for a while. So I was just kind of adrift when I turned 20. And... this was 11 years ago, so people that weren't possibly incredibly scary had started dating on the internet.
As creepy. Like, you didn't have to filter through all of the, like, guys who are just, I don't know. I know what you mean. There's
totally normal now.
It is.
For the longest time, it was like, oh, we met online.
Yeah, but there was a gap there. Where there was a little while where people were taking advantage of the internet and its anonymous capabilities. And yeah, I get you. So you were online.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I had a profile on a couple of different dating websites. Mm-hmm. And I met this girl. I guess I'll avoid saying her name. She's not going to watch this anyway.
Sure.
So we'll call her Dumbface.
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 Yeah.
No, we won't call her that, but...
She was a girl. She was a girl.
Yes.
Yeah. She may or may not have had a dumb face.
She may or may not have had a dumb face.
She definitely was a girl.
She definitely was a girl. Yeah. We met online and fell in love. She lived here in Kansas City. And I was just incredibly unhappy in Indianapolis. And I was kind of in a place where, like, I didn't really know what to do with my life at all. And so I was like, well... I have something. I'm in love with this person. I'm going to move. And I just uprooted my entire life. And I've lived here ever since. My staying and living here has outlasted that relationship by, like, 3 or 4 years now.
Wow. Cool. I mean, that's good. I guess, you know, like, you're finding your way past that. You didn't retreat. You didn't, you know, like... back into a corner, you just continue to move forward, you know? And, like, that's really important because I think that so many people feel like, you know, if they make a move for a relationship, then that's just it, you know? Like, boom. Yeah. But, no, that's good. That's not very characteristic, I feel like, of you from youth, it seems like, you know?
It wasn't. No, I was, like, I had a really overprotective mother. I barely left the house at all. When I say overprotective, I mean she literally wouldn't let me leave the house.
Wow.
Even in my late teens and 20s, she, like, physically tried to stop me from moving. By the way, Mom, if you're watching this, hi. Sorry about talking about your craziness, but you are crazy, Mom. You are.
But Mom isn't crazy, though. I mean, you know, like, my mom's crazy in totally different ways, but absolutely, like...
Yeah.
Yeah. She could never physically keep me inside of the house, but I was damned if I didn't know how upset she was every time I came back. So, yeah.
Yeah.
So, moms, thank you for being crazy and overprotective, I guess. Like, it forces us to be I don't know. How does it force us? I feel like it forces me to be more crafty.
Crafty? Well, definitely. Oh, I had experiences sneaking out of the house and, like, I'm going to sneak out of this particular window, but sneak back into this one. Mm-hmm. And, like, crawl mm-hmm. around the house.
Did you ever do, like you had to, like, reset things, like, the way they were? Like, I feel like I developed a photographic memory, you know, like, cause I would take a picture of like any situation and like recreate that situation if I mess with it at all. Mm-hmm. I would meddle a lot in my parents' belongings and have to put them all back the way they were to make sure I didn't get in trouble. Did you ever have to do stuff like that? Or was it more like you said, like stealthy?
Like, you mean if I was nosing into their stuff and things like that? Yeah. Oh, my mom is so, she just doesn't notice things at all. There was no need for that.
You're so lucky.
She had a lot of interesting stuff, though. Like, my grandpa was the one with all the most interesting stuff.
Like what?
He had, like, a lot of weird pornography and stuff.
Mine did, too.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Yeah.
So it was, like, always neat to get to go through his stuff. I remember seeing, like, I guess my parents actually got this for him, but, like, all these handbills from, like, prostitutes in Las Vegas.
Get
like,
out.
Sneaking through his stuff.
They had handbills?
I guess at that time they'd just, like, hand them out on the street, like.
Oh, okay, so, like, now they have little cards, like. Because I guess they have a little system. Did you know this in Vegas with the system?
No.
I learned last time I went. It's the number of flicks means how good the girl is. And, like, so one flicks is like, eh. Two flicks is like, yeah, you'll probably have a good time. Mm-hmm. Three flicks is like, you better jump on this. This is the one for you. Like, I don't know how they know this, but apparently this is crazy. So
I didn't see ratings for these girls at all. I don't know how good they must have been.
It's different now, I guess. It's a whole different time now in Vegas. So your grandfather just had all this stuff and your parents kind of collected it and you ended up going through it and
my mom thought treasures. It was like really funny to give my grandfather porn.
Wow.
I don't know. She's just like messing with him, I guess.
That's so funny. Does your mom generally have a sense of humor that way or is it?
I think so. I definitely got my sense of humor from both my parents. They've both always had really interesting senses of humor mm-hmm. and I think a lot of my drive to be funny, too, came from my older sister, Bridget, who I hope is watching this, because she doesn't know this.
Hi, Bridget.
I
didn't even know you had an older sister.
I have two. I have two older sisters.
Get out. Yep. This is truly, that's why I love this show, is because I learned so much about people. I had no idea you had two older sisters.
Yeah, they were raised, like, they had a different mother, and so.
Sure, but still, separate, like, but that's, wow.
So getting to see them would be a real treat. Like, my oldest sister, Heather, she was just completely my hero in everything she did. Like,
oh, wow.
Because she was the oldest. She was, like, 8 years older than me. Mm-hmm. And so, like, that's just old enough to be like, oh, you're doing it. You got it. Like, Heather knows what it's all about.
Yeah.
I don't know if she really did, but certainly she was my idol.
Wow.
And, my sister, Bridget, she was just so, and still is, so funny.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, I grew up mostly in the 90s, and she had mastered the 90s art of sarcasm so well.
Like the Janine Garofalo?
Yeah.
But, and I mean, Janine Garofalo was pretty good, but there's better.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It was like having Jane Lane as my sister from Daria.
Yes. That's perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, so you got to grow up with just like, did you have to feel like you had to battle that, or did you absorb it, or like how did you process it all? Like, was that, you know, because Heather was your kind of like your like, oh well, I want to kind of be like her because she's got it all put together, but Bridget was kind of like the one that kind of feels like inspired you, you know?
Yeah.
So how does that influence you now, or what is it, you know, all that stuff?
I don't know. I feel like. All my brothers and sisters. I have a big family, I guess, now that I say it, because I have two younger brothers, too.
So all right, now we just have to stop. Now we just have to stop.
I
thought
brothers?
You were an only child.
You thought I was an
I'm
only child?
I'm not
going to
lie.
Why did you think I was an only child?
I am, because you're the only one here. I guess, because I'm...
that doesn't make sense.
Idiotic Midwesterner who thinks that when people don't exist, that they're not a, you know, like, whatever, they are someplace else. I don't know. I seriously, for some reason, thought you were the only... child, and that's so weird. Yeah, so you got a couple of younger brothers too then.
Yeah, they're 3 years younger than me. They're both twins.
Wow.
Mark and Matt. They've even got those twin names.
Yeah, it's all about names tonight, guys. Are they spelled normal, or are they
they have normal spellings. Technically Matt is Matthew, so he's got the same thing going on as me, but he never asserted the Matthew part.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he'll get there.
He'll get there.
Yeah,
one day.
He's not quite 30 yet. Yeah. So
it's a good name, Matthew.
Matthew, it's a strong name. It's very
strong.
Strong.
It's from the Bible.
It's a biblical name, Matthew.
Yeah, I got named after the Shakespeare play, although not spelled right. But they got named after the books of the Bible.
Yeah. Hmm. Interesting. There's a lot of fun name. Factoids for your family, so
yeah. I spend too much time thinking about all that.
Well, I think the last name of Everhart is fantastic. Like, your last name is great. My last name is shit.
Roland.
Oh yeah,
that's like a legendary hero.
Yeah, I know, but it's still. I feel like I don't know. Everhart's like so bold and full, and I don't know.
I do have this like ridiculous name, Juliet Everhart.
So good. You probably have one of the coolest names I've ever uttered in my life.
Thank you.
Yeah. No, that's so awesome.
I don't know how much I live up to it.
A lot. You live up to every moment of it.
Thank you.
Yeah. All right. So let's get back into like you. So you met that girl. You came to Kansas City, and then no longer with that girl.
Yeah.
Yeah. We don't talk about it.
It ended.
It ended. Yeah,
it ended. That's pretty much it.
Yeah, it ended. People grow apart, whatever. Mm-hmm. But then you met...
I met Christian.
Gosh. That guy.
That guy.
I just want to make out with him. I mean, I just want him to be so happy.
I've seen you... You guys may have made out on stage more than we have.
Shut up. A little beard action.
Like, oh, it's so hot every time, too. I love it. I do.
We're just acting, people. It's just purely acting.
For people just listening to the audio, I just mouthed, they're not.
We're not acting.
Yeah.
Yeah, thank you. I wanna, the audio listeners. Yeah, they got to make sure that everybody gets a video.
Yeah,
they
the
got
full
it.
Video experience, yeah. Not audio, the audio, not so much. All right? Sorry, yeah. Video people.
Yeah. So, but you met Christian through improv, right?
Yes.
Yeah, uh-huh. So let's talk about that.
Meeting Christian in particular, or improv?
Yeah, or both. Whatever. I mean, one and the same, really. We want to get them both in there.
Oh, man. Well, I guess I should just tell the story of how Christian and I met.
Yes.
The actual story of how we met isn't interesting because I guess we were in a class together really early on at some point, but I didn't remember that class at all. But that was like 3 or 4 years ago, so I was in a time where I was really messed up in my life, and more than likely I was drunk that night, so...
Oh. I've had those.
Yeah. The night I did meet him and remember meeting him, I do remember I was drunk, but I still remember the night. So...
Well, let's tell it.
It was Improv Thunderdome, actually. I can't remember...
Hmm.
No, I remember... there was KCIC was performing. I think that was when they were doing the Epic, maybe. They won that night, definitely.
They won with the Hangover.
It was the Hangover.
Okay.
That was what they were doing, and they won that night. And I remember, I think Adam was in the cast.
Yep.
That's all I remember.
Yeah, I think Adam, Helsher, Brandy, Tori, I think she was in there. I know those two. Pretty specific word.
Might have been the one Leah was in, too.
Oh, that's right. Leah Emmerich was in... Or what's her last name now? Sorry, Leah, if you're listening or watching.
Gunn.
Right?
Wait, was that what her gun... That was what her gun name was. That was what her name was before. Right.
Names.
Now her name is Emmerich.
Emmerich. Now her name... See, I was right. Okay, yeah.
Yes.
Thanks, Facebook.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I remember that show, actually. Like, Leah and Brandy were a couple, I think, and Adam kept... trying to get in the middle of the couple. And I think at one point, like, the roof they were in caved in. I don't know. It was a good show. And I remember they really, like, their use of the environment in it was really fun.
Yeah. Was that the preliminary round or championship round?
I think it was preliminary.
Did they win the championship that year?
I think so. I think that was when they won the championship.
I'm pretty sure.
And wow. Charlie Bell did this thing called Vera and the Can.
Oh, yeah?
Which was, like, him and a can.
I remember this.
Do you remember that?
For those of you who don't know, Charlie Bell was also an improviser and is now in Cleveland. Charlie, if you're watching this.
He's hot in Cleveland.
Yeah, I think you're big shot in Cleveland listening. But he did, yeah, this can bit. And he, like, talked to the can, right?
And the can was, like, his dead wife.
Yeah.
Or something.
Yeah.
I don't know. It was a really interesting show. I still remember it. Yeah. But they were giving away free Tank 7 that night, too.
Ooh.
Which is a beer with, like, a super high alcohol content.
Yeah. Boulevard.
Yeah.
It's one of my favorite Boulevard beers.
Oh, man, me too.
We need to get Boulevard as a sponsor or something.
Mm-hmm. Are you listening?
Yeah. Boulevard?
Just interview Jeremy Danner.
Yeah, I should do that. Yeah, just be like, hey, bring on a show, get a little free beer. Ooh, that would be a fun one. Just there by the go. End of it, drinking Tank 7. Mm-hmm. Jeez.
Yeah, so I was really drunk, and I was enjoying the show, but it was not very long after my breakup. Like, I had had a couple of relationships in between that, but I had actually just run into Dumbface earlier that night.
Oh.
And we were talking for a long time, and we had this weird conversation, and, like, the long and short of it was that I had was really good at oral sex, but other than that, there was nothing to come back to with me.
Get out!
Yeah, she...
Get out!
And I was outside of the Kick Theater, or I think it was just the Coffee House Theater at that time. And I was just so drunk on that Tank 7, like, upset and hanging out with a couple of friends. And I was like, if I guess I'm good at cunnilingus, whatever. I'm, like, outside shouting that out. And I don't know why Christian saw that. And he was like, I'm attracted to that lady and that's good at cunnilingus and I'm going to try to hit on her.
Hey, you over there. Yeah.
But for him, I'm glad he did.
I'm glad too. Yeah, for sure. So, thus your improv, experience really began, right? I mean, you'd been taking some classes, but then that kind of progressed it forward. How's that been so far?
Oh, it's the best thing I've ever done with my life. It really is. It is the thing that's motivated me and given me purpose. Like, I think anyone that knows me now wouldn't have recognized me before.
I was just gonna say, if I could have a before and after picture right now, like, you look like a completely different person from when I first met you. I mean, and I know I look a little bit different too. I have more tattoos and, you know, this and that, but still, like, just like your physical appearance, like your skin tone, even it has more shine to it now. You seemed like a vampire when I first met you, and I was terrified of you.
You were terrified of me.
I didn't know who you were or what you were doing, but I thought...
Where's this weird girl coming from?
Thought you wanted to either attack me in a dark alley or something like that. Maybe use me for a ritualistic sacrifice. I don't know. But I just... At the time, I also was going through a lot of weird stuff and whatnot, and so I too didn't really know what I was doing and listing through life and relationships and stuff, and yeah, that's crazy. So we finally became friends when we got to KCIC, KC Improv Company, and that was that was really interesting. I think it was really strange how a lot of us came together and formed these friendships and stuff.
I'll tell you, like, you would take some of the level 1 and level 2 classes for a while, and, like, it's funny you were scared of me, because, like, every time you would take a class in those early days before I was friends with you or knew you, I was like, oh, Zach's here! He's, like, a real improviser! He's so good! Wow! I hope I get to do a scene with Zach!
Oh.
Like, it was really exciting to me. Like,
that's great.
It was an event.
I mean, I'm glad that you felt that way, yeah. That's so cool.
You were,
cool.
like, in KCIC, and I'm like, well, that has to be, like, the best group in town, and he's in that, and he has to be really good, and I had seen you in shows. And
yeah,
you definitely were.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, I had fought really hard to get to where I was. I think mm-hmm. even at that point, because I had been on a couple of short form groups and then even continued to move forward and getting into KCIC, you know, had been a goal of mine. And so, like, you know, showing that to other students was like, it was important for me to be there to help other people, I think. You know, like, mm-hmm. that's always been my mindset, to perform with others and try to help them. And, you know, as many different avenues as I've taken and gone along the way, I've always wanted to educate and help people and be there. And so I think that, like, that's good to know that, like, at that point, you kind of were, I don't know, inspired, I guess, or encouraged. I don't know. Yeah, all of those things that you said. Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah, it means a lot.
Yeah. No, it's like, and then getting to be an after-school special.
Yeah.
Like, I think that formed, like, right before I got into KCIC. And for me, that was almost enough. I almost didn't even go to KCIC auditions because I was just like, I get to play with the people I want to play with anyway.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about that real quick. I don't know if many people know about how After School Special got started. So, do you tell it? I think you know, I mean, we were all there, but it all begins with Brandy.
Yeah, Brandy Torrey, my friend. I had lunch with her today. Hi, Brandy.
Hi, Brandy.
I referred to time.
Oh,
Brandy's
no!
Brandy's going to see this, and she's not going to know. Like, I didn't have any lunch with Julie today.
It's okay.
She's going to be so confused.
But you've had lunch with Brandy before, and you
I
will
have,
again.
Eventually.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
So, go ahead.
She, Adam, and Jason, other members of After School Special, Adam Helscher, Jason Van Cleve, they were all apparently part of a group in Springfield.
The Skinny Improv.
At the Skinny Improv. Yeah. I can't remember what they were called.
I don't recall either.
But I guess it was an improv group with a really literary bent.
Mm-hmm.
And Brandy just wanted to do something like that again. And so she got the largest group of bookish people together.
Yeah, people who she thought would appreciate and understand literature the way that she had and Jason and Adam had as well.
Mm-hmm.
So she selected myself and you and Christian Robinson.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah. And indeed, I was an English major and mm-hmm. liked to read.
Yeah.
So it was a good fit.
Yeah.
It was a super good team. Before that, my first team was LSR.
Right.
We existed, guys.
Yeah.
We existed.
Yeah. And I saw you guys perform. It was like when you were one of those teams that was still just, you know, getting your feet wet, you know? Like,
nobody gave us a chance.
I agree. I think that LSR had some potential to go mm-hmm. someplace and were you guys in a competition show at one point?
We were. Thunderdome.
Thunderdome?
I think so.
Yeah.
We did a mono scene, too.
I remember. Because it was not a bad show at all. It was a really good show. And I was like, but everybody just had, like, this weird stigma because you guys were a somewhat student-made group that you couldn't get any better.
Oh, man, people hated us for that.
It's so like, silly.
They're not any good. Can't let them do anything.
Did you have a coach at the time?
No, we didn't. Hmm. But I mean, I was so new in it, and we were the only indie group in the city at the time. I didn't even know how it worked. I didn't think there was anybody that could coach you. And so, or if there were, like, anybody local would be prohibitively expensive.
Yeah.
And so I guess to go around to it, like, Christian and I had been working on Chess with Death for quite a while, too. Mm-hmm. That actually started before we got together as a couple. We started working as a duo together. And there, too, like, it's just only so much we could do to try to get better. And especially because there was all this stigma against us for being new. It's like, motherfuckers, you were new at one point, too.
Yep. Absolutely. That's absolutely true. Everybody has to start somewhere. And, you know, nobody walks in and creates comedy gold their first day.
No.
You know, I mean, like, it's a process. Yeah.
Except me.
Except, Sorry. Okay, then.
No.
He does. It takes time. Yeah, I remember. I distinctly recall a lot of those conversations that I have with people and just being like, well, just give them a chance, you know?
Yeah. And you see what happens when you give people chances like that. Because I think, like, I don't know if Disappointing Birthday Party would have been given a chance like that if they had started.
The Current Underground Throwdown Champions.
The Current Underground Throwdown Champions.
And that is time sensitive as well. Awesome. Oh, what are we doing?
Maybe they're always the Underground Throwdown
Champions.
Maybe
they are.
Oh, man. Let's hope so.
I can't not say it because I'm so proud of them. I mean, as a group. Not just because they're winning, but they have won or wherever they're at in that tournament. The fact that they have come so far. And you're a coach.
My proudest improv moment thus far, everything else being equal, is hearing that they had won that first Underground Throwdown. Because it was such a validation of all the work that they were willing to put into it and how good they all are and how much work they were willing to put in. And kind of on my own selfish thing, since I'm talking about my accomplishments.
We're supposed to be.
Right, yeah, exactly.
It's like, about you.
Yeah. It's that validation of like, oh, I know this well enough that I helped this group of people become really good at this.
Mm-hmm.
And they know what they're doing because I taught it to them. And it just, it felt really good. It felt really validating because LSR didn't have a coach. Mm-hmm. I was the coach along with being a player in my first year of improv.
Wow.
I listened to all the podcasts I could and tried to take in all the like exercises and like, let's do this, you guys. And like when I went off to Second City for a couple of intensives, like I'd bring that stuff back and just like any way to get better. But
yeah,
it didn't really take off until we started like, as Chess with Death, me and Christian working with people over Skype.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we're gonna briefly interrupt for a lightning round, and then I got like a ton of questions to ask you about some stuff that you just brought up. So, favorite novel?
Really hard to say, but since it comes to my mind right now, Revolutionary Road by Richard Yates is right up there at the top. Anytime I read a Richard Yates novel, it's like I'm reading a book that's about me, and how did this guy from the 50s write about me?
Last piece of clothing you bought for yourself?
Last piece of clothing I bought for myself was a red floral print dress that I plan on taking, or did take, to New York. I definitely had it with me.
Floral dress.
Mm-hmm.
The thing you dread eating the most.
The thing I dread. Well, I guess since I'm a vegan now, it would be meat or dairy. I was lactose intolerant, and it made being vegan really easy because I don't want to painfully shit myself all the time.
Superhero power. If you had one, what would it be?
Oh, I wish I had Jean Grey's powers.
Phoenix.
She has telekinetic powers. I would love that. I'd get to fuck with people all the time.
Waterbed or regular bed?
Regular bed. Waterbeds are terrifying, man.
The artist you wish you could tell to stop doing art?
Oh, who needs to hang it up? I don't know.
In the sense of painting or, like something of that. Like, let's say, artists who are deceased who you wish would have never finished painting, I don't know.
That seems like the opposite question. Sure. Like, who's dead that I want to come back?
Yeah, let's do that one.
I wish F. Scott and Zelda Fitzgerald had not died when they did so that we could have more books from them, especially about the aging process.
Yeah.
As those two got older, I think it would have been very interesting.
They were great. The last time you, what was the last childhood memory you recalled other than what you've talked about today?
The last childhood memory I recalled?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why I was thinking about it earlier today, but I remember this one time that a TV almost fell on me and on one of my brothers because, like, my brothers were, like, fighting in front of a TV, and, like, they knocked it over, and I happened to be, like, just right there by it, and I leapt, like, underneath it and started, like, having to hold it up, and I was like, oh my god, what if you two have to help me right now? Like older sister saved, definitely right there. Oh. But if it had fallen, if my other brother, I can't even remember which one was going to get crushed and which one was helping me hold it up. I'm sorry, twin brother problems. But we had to spend like five minutes. Matthew and Mark.
Yeah, Mark and Matthew.
We just spent like 5 minutes yelling for my parents to come help us because I couldn't hold the TV up any more than just where it was.
Yeah. If you could name a country, what would you name it?
Fart country.
Fart country? You know I can't hold back when it comes to fart and poop. I always laugh at fart and poop. Every time. I can't do it. All right. Thus ends the lightning round. Good job. Oh, boy. I can't help it.
Electricity dissipates.
Right. Big fart cloud.
Been a big fart
So, yeah. So, a couple interesting things I wanted to talk to you about. And, man, I mean, just actually right there, there were so many fascinating things we could go back and talk about. Like, becoming vegan, but I know how much you love improv, and so I'd like to continue to talk a little bit more about that. So let's get into that second city. How was that?
Oh my god, that was I did two levels there, two different intensives, and both times it was just the best thing.
Who'd you study with?
I wish I could remember my level one teacher. Her name was Jay something that starts with an S, but she just had us refer to her as Jay. She was really good. Anne Libra was my level two teacher.
Cool.
Yeah, she's really great. She's a really good teacher.
She still is up with Second City now, isn't she?
Yeah. Yeah.
So.
But it was just an amazing experience. And the neat thing about doing like an improv intensive is like, it's all week and it's like 9 a.m. to 4 o'clock. It feels like improv is just your job for that week. And so I had this whole experience of like staying in Chicago for a week. I'd wake up, I'd get on the train and go to Second City, and just like by the end it's almost routine, except no, this is just adult fun camp. This is not my job, really.
God, I know. It'd be so great.
Mm-hmm.
So then the other thing then, so Skype coaching. Now, to my knowledge, you're the revolutionary person who started this. It may have maybe existed somewhere out there beforehand, but like I feel like with you and Christian getting this started, so many other improvisers in other cities have now begun to utilize this worldwide. And let it be known, Juliet Everhart, I think, figured this whole thing out. Skyping was a thing beforehand, but like the way that we do it, I don't know if it existed before.
Yeah, Kevin Mullaney told me one time that there was, like, one other person that he had worked with like that, but it was really different. It was some guy in Florida, and it was just one guy instead of, like, a whole actual coaching session. But, it's weird, because I remember trying to get this going. Should I tell this whole story behind this?
Yeah, go ahead. Well, yeah.
Because Christian and I, we actually, I love Jill Bernard. She is one of my favorite people in the world. She's one of my favorite improv people.
Yeah.
And we traveled all the way up to Minneapolis to get to work with her. And we coached. We had a coaching session with her. And just from listening to podcasts, it was always like, well, people in other cities get to do this like every week. Why do we have to travel 8 hours away to get to do this like once? So I just started contacting people. I found like New York message boards for New York improvisers, and the first three people I contacted turned me down.
Wow.
I was really discouraged, and I contacted one last person, Dustin Drury, my favorite person in the universe.
Dustin.
Besides Christian.
good plug.
Yeah, good plug. And he said yes, and he did it, and he made it work, even though Christian and I sucked shit at improv at that time. We were just so bad.
Right.
You kind of tell, like, he was so nice to us and so encouraging, but you could just tell, like, it's those times where, like, are these two ever going to get this?
Yeah. And that's, you did, and that's about the time that to kind of play back into like after school special and stuff. Like we got together, we ended up going to like Brandy's apartment, remember? Mm-hmm. And then we got together and started doing these little like literature pieces.
Yeah.
But eventually that led to us getting coached by these other coaches from Chicago, LA, and New York. Mm-hmm. So get into more, let's talk about like how that all ties into your big plan.
Not my big plan.
Yeah.
Well, I wanted to make being stuck here in Kansas City an asset instead of a liability. Mm-hmm. For my improv education. Because I can look at it as like, oh, I can't go take UCB classes, I can't take IO classes. Or I can look at it as I don't have to be limited by where I am. As long as people, wherever they are willing to work with me, I can learn it all. I can take it in, and I don't have to be hampered by the idea that, like, well, I'm into this certain way, and
sure,
it has to be done this way.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we had worked with Kevin Mullaney a couple of times in person, too, and I remember for a long time, like, wanting to contact him about Skype coaching, but I was like, oh, but he's Kevin Mullaney. I don't want to bother him with this.
Yeah.
And, like, when I finally did and he was open to it, like, that really started opening up the floodgates more. We started getting to work with people like Rick Andrews in New mm-hmm. York, Nick Armstrong.
From L.A.
From L.A., yep. Teacher at IOS, mm-hmm. Sunday Company at the Groundlings now, and an amazing...
He's on TV, guys. We worked with a guy who was on TV. A couple of people were on TV. Yeah, Anthony Antaminik from New York. Not to, like, name drop,
yeah,
but
TV
geez.
People, guys.
Yeah, we work with TV right. people. So
they're on TV.
Yeah, so it's really just fascinating how, like, you know, like, there's so many, I feel like there's so many moves that you've made as an improviser that have really, like, I don't know, blossomed the community even more, you know, with, like, Skype coaching, and with all the stuff that's been happening mm-hmm. With indie teams, like Disappointing Birthday Party, how After School Special, like, formed as sort of like a short, semi-short form, long form group, but then mm-hmm. blossomed into this wonderful long form group that did the book report, and we were 7-time in a row Underground Throwdown champions. And, mm-hmm. like, I can't tell you, that was, like, some of the most amazing times in my life. Like,
yeah.
Every show that I got to perform with you and on all the other after-school special people was just like, ugh, are you kidding me?
Yeah. The best time.
This is the best time. I don't know anything else that could be more fun than this. Mm-hmm. And I think that's why we're so, so successful in just getting all of that training and everything like that. That's all you. So
thank you.
As much as you got to like idolize and really like be like, oh my gosh, there's Zach. I'm like the same thing. I'm like, Juliet is the queen bee of like making shit happen, guys. Sorceress. She knows what I'm talking about.
That does mean a lot coming from you.
Yeah, totally. So
I don't know. I might be quiet, but that was me asserting my will on the whole city. I was like, no,
thank
we're going to need it. We're going to need indie teams, but we're going to need people like actually interested in learning this. And, you know, fuck the gatekeepers. I don't like that. It's not what this is supposed to be about.
Right.
In other cities, it's not. Like, they have a vibrant indie community, and I wanted that here. I wanted to be able to go out and do shows with other people. And, like, we're still building it. We're still trying to get there. Mm-hmm. But, like, I don't know. I just hate the gatekeepers that keep you from doing this because...
Right.
I don't know. I don't know who will watch this. I don't...
That's all right. Nobody should be the gatekeepers to anything that you want to have fun with and learn more about. You should always be able to expand upon anything that you want to do. So, I get you. Absolutely. Well, Julie, we're coming to the end, and I always like to give my guests the turnaround, which I think is something that you showed me to do best, and how you get to answer, or excuse me, you've answered plenty of my questions. You get to ask me questions now. One question or multiple questions, whatever you'd like to ask, could be personal, could be improv, mm-hmm. could be anything.
Oh, boy. Questions for Zach.
This is
questions
about it.
For
yeah.
Zach. What's it like moving to New York? No.
I have no idea.
I think I know the answer to this, but what is your proudest improv moment?
I think my proudest moment, I mean, there's a lot really that I can think of, and I know, like, I think I've said it before, that sounds silly, but I don't know, there's so many. I think, like, winning Underground Throwdown each time was, I was super proud of that. Every festival that a team has been on that I've been accepted into, I've been really proud of that. And not just because of me, but because of the team effort, because of the work that everyone's doing, because I know that those are people that I like to perform and do things with. And so, you know, they deserve it just as much as I deserve it. And I love that people see that it's not just individuals doing things. And I think that's why I don't like stand up as much, because it's so individual. Mm-hmm. And I love that people get to work together and they see, like, how this group of people collaborate and do art and perform and are wicked funny. And I don't know, it's just, it was so great for me. I think being After School Special is probably my proudest improv moment. So, yeah.
Yeah. It's a good one.
Yeah.
I wish we could talk about spirituality more. You're one of my favorite people to talk to about that.
I'm a weirdo. Yeah.
No, you're genuine, man. I don't know. Like, you could take that tack, but I don't know. I'm a weirdo about all that stuff, too. And I'd rather have somebody that's, like, open-minded and willing to talk about it, because, like...
I feel like sometimes I have it more together than most people who think they're spiritual. You know? And that's, I don't want to be smug about it. And I'm sorry for being smug, people, but...
Spiritual
to the end. All right, this is the Pharaoh Cross.
Pharaoh Cross. Let my people go.
Yeah, but we do. I get into a lot of spiritual stuff, and I'm not religious, but I'm very spiritual. Mm-hmm. You know, so I believe in a lot of interesting concepts and ideas, and push myself to believe in anything, you know, and everything. But I still use logic to maintain a good base, and you know, I'm a human. So I've only got so much and so many limitations to myself and my mind and whatnot. But it doesn't mean I can't have fun and pretend and think and conceptualize. And I know that you know and understand that too. Maybe it's because we're, I want to say theologians, but not really. But we, you know, like we just study and we love to study the concept of it.
Yeah.
It just gets us really excited and I don't know, I love it. So yeah, spirituality is a lot of fun. And I find you to be a very spiritual person as well. So there's a good connected energy, and I think that's what makes friends really... There's something more there than just being like, we're friends, right? Mm-hmm. Like, there's a connected energy, and I'm glad we have that.
Oh, you're awesome, man. I feel really privileged to get to be your friend, because I guess to take it back to, like, earlier in the interview, like I said, like, I was a really isolated kid, and I did not have a lot of friends, like... I would make a couple of friends, and it just really got worse as an adult. Like, it was mostly in my 20s just spending a lot of time with Dumbface, and
Dumbface.
Not good, man. Just having, like, good friends, like you and Adam, and of course someone as wonderful as Christian.
Absolutely. Yeah. It gives you life.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, I'm sorry to say it, but we're out of time. I'm going to give you a hug.
Oh, my gosh.
Because I love you. You're one of my best friends.
Oh, I love you, Zach.
And thank you guys so much for listening. And there's always more episodes that are backlogged and back cataloged. Mm-hmm. Excuse me, not backlogged. And more episodes to come. So please feel free to check them out. Dale Maxfield, as always, thank you very much for your time and energy and everything that you do. You're very much appreciated. And thank you to all the fans out there and everybody who listens. You guys are awesome. So tune in next week.
Yeah, life begins at 30, you guys.
Life begins at 30. Get there. Bye.